I just thought about something. Second thought for today. If y'all would sing more and praise more and worship more, I'd have to preach less. Oh, that's not how it works. All right, let's go to Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. And by no means, when I preach this sermon, am I excluding law as being a good school teacher or as a good learning device, although it's not law that saves us and we're not kept under the law after salvation, but we must have law. We must have. I was filling out an application for this adoption thing this week, or my wife filled it out for me, great secretary that I have, and it said, what rules would you allow to be broken or some nature like that? And I'm sitting here, rules were never made to be broken. There is no rule, if it's a rule, that's made to be broken. They make speed limits because they want you to go that speed limit. They didn't say, like I was told to me, 70-ish. You know, if you feel sort of 73, 78, 76, 70-ish, it's 70 or it's 80 or it's 55, but it wasn't made there just so you could violate it or break it. I understand you could go less, but it is intended for you not to go more. So rules are good for us. Rules are what we teach our children, so they grow up and understand the fear of God, the fear of relationship between father and mother, the fact that the parent is the parent and the child is not the parent. And I see so much nowadays where it looks like the children are the parents and the parents follow or obey their children. And I'm sitting here, that's not the way it's designed to be. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to beat them to death or anything like that. But if you establish your authority when they're 6 months old, 7 months old, you say, you, really? Yeah. You start establishing your authority as soon as they're born. You don't wait till they're 15 and say, now I'm going to make you into what I'd like for you to be. But you start at birth, showing them who you are and what you are and the way you are and what you'll let go and what you won't let go. Because if you let them continue to let go or do, pretty soon you'll have no control whatsoever. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee, if I get the word out right, to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers and for fathers and of mothers, of manslayers, for whoremongers, and them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurers, persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed unto my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he had counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hence hereafter believe on him, that on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And we'll go back to the beginning. So it says, first of all, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. In other words, he's thanking God. He's telling people about what God has done for him, saying, I am an apostle, and I was put in the apostleship by God himself, by Christ himself, who is our hope, who is our joy, who is our look forward to this. We're looking for that great and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If you read those verses, like in here in a minute, it says, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, you almost say it looks like two separate, but yet if you read it like it states there, it's God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They are one. They are together. They're always joined up there. It's not like two separate gods up there. He's saying God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I besought thee to abide still. He's talking to Timothy here. He says, I want you to stay there at Ephesus when I go into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them to teach no other doctrine. In other words, there's some things that's being taught at church. Maybe not by everybody, but by some people. There's some things that are being taught at church that I want you to go straighten out. There's some things that's being told there about genealogies and law and different things that are going on in the church house that's getting away from what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Now, we need to have law. We need to, like I said before, we need to have rule. We need to have order. We were under the law until Christ saved us. He didn't save us from the law, though, because we still fulfill the law because we're saved, but we're not under the law. We're not hindered by the law. We don't have to sit there, if you do this, God's going to strike you down. Although before then, I was always told, God don't like ugly. And he don't. If you're doing ugly, if you're doing sin, God don't like that. But it says there's some that were teaching things, neither giving heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions. In other words, when Paul gives his story, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. I was of the law. I was under Gamaliel. Look at my pedigree and all the things that I did. And he uses that in a chapter. But here he's saying, there are people who are preaching, I was this. My great-grandfather was a Baptist. My great-great-grandfather was a Baptist. My great-great-great-great, all the way back to the Pilgrims, I was a Baptist. Look at me. And that has nothing to do with you. That does not save you. Your great-grandparents, all the way back to John the Baptist, could have been Baptist. But unless God saves you, unless God borns you again from above, unless God pours out mercy upon you, you could be all the way back to John the Baptist and name every single soul. But God has to save you. He says they were teaching fables. They were teaching genealogy. They were teaching the law still. They said, look, you've been saved. But now you still need on the Passover, you still need to do your lambs, and you still need to do your unleavened bread, and you still need to do all these ceremonial things. And they were trying to bring all those traditions and all those things in and saying, you're missing the thing that you were saved by grace. You were saved according to God's good pleasure. You weren't saved because you're a traditionalist. You weren't saved because of your genealogy. You weren't saved because out of Babylon you could track your way back to Jerusalem before it was destroyed. And you remember when they came out of Babylon, all those Levites and folks had married some girls that weren't right. and they had to put them away. So they said here, all your genealogies are messed up anyways. Because some of y'all, although you think you can bring your genealogies right back, there's some black sheep in the fold there some places. He says they were preaching genealogies, and they were preaching fables, which minister questions rather than godly edification. In other words, instead of me trying to tell you all the things that I am, I ought to be lifting you up with godly edification. Or instead of trying to win you over with my pedigree, I guarantee you I don't have a pedigree. But the thing is, if I was trying to tell you about a pedigree, that doesn't lift you up. That doesn't edify you. That doesn't glorify God. That just puts a line of men in a row there to show something about. It says, from which some have swerved, turning aside unto vain janglings. In other words, there's some folks that would get up in the thing and preach to people what they wanted to hear. Now, that's one reason I try to read the scripture. So if I mess up what it says, you still got the scripture. It's there for you to hear. It's there for you to grow on. It's there for you to listen to. Hopefully I preach the scripture, but instead of me coming in here and just reading one verse and trying to tell you the whole world of what it does, I just let God say it for you. You say, well, you're a cheater. Well, maybe so, but God says a whole lot better than I do. If I take one verse and I make you an hour sermon out of it, I put a lot of me into it, I guarantee you. And I don't want to do that. It says here, they have swerved from the truth. They've went after vain janglings. They've went after stories and things that make people laugh and have fun and want to lift up man instead of lifting up God. And it says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what of they affirm. In other words, if I try to get you back to the law after salvation, not before salvation, I try to get you back to the law after salvation, then I am getting rid of the grace of God. I'm getting rid of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm getting rid of the sacrifice that God made before the foundation of the world. I'm getting rid of the Savior. If I come in here and say, now if you'll not steal, if you'll not lie, if you'll not covet, if you'll not bear false witness, if you'll not murder, oh, if you'll just do those things, brothers and sisters, God will love you and He'll have to keep you and save you. That's what they were preaching. That's what they went from the grace of God to keeping the law. Now, don't get me wrong. The first law, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Lord forbid, I have never made that happen yet. And I wouldn't sit here and try to make you think that I have. I have never been able to love the Lord with all my heart. I have too much of me involved in that. I have too much of my flesh that wants to pull away and do what it wants to do. And I thank God that God saved me by grace and not by the law. Because if I'd been saved by the law, the very first law condemned me forever. I could have never done it. And the next one says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Man, I can't even do that great. In fact, I probably don't do that good at all. I try to respect them. I try to be courteous. I try to be nice but I don't go out there and go overabundant to try to be buddies with my neighbor. It says, they tried to teach the laws. They tried to say, by doing these laws, you've been more. Is that like adding to Christ? If I could have done more to begin with, couldn't we have been saved by the law? I mean, that would have been the whole point back in Galatians. If you could have kept any law. I'm sitting here, all right, where do you start keeping that law at, though? At a certain age, when you get learned up to a certain age, and they say, now, from here, if you'll just keep the law from here on, God would have to save you. We would never do that because we would violate that right off the bat. In fact, we already know that we're a bunch of lawbreakers. Our traditions mess us up. Our pride messes us up. Where does traditions come from? From our pride. Look at me. My daddy was this. My great-grandpa was this. My great-great-grandpa was this. I'm all full of pride, ain't I? And that's what messes up the church at the beginning here. It says, when you got this group over here, well, I'm from this organization, and I got this group over here. I'm from this organization. I got that group in the back. Oh, we're from these guys, and we do all this. All of a sudden, you got a church that's divided. Every group, every clique in the church has this puffed up, well, we do the Wednesday night visitation. Well, we do the Saturday morning visitation. Come on. We all doing the same thing for Christ. We're telling somebody about Jesus. But they all get puffed up about what group they belong to and what they're doing. And desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. In other words, if I came in here and started doing law, I would have fallen from grace. I would be fallen from what I'm supposed to be doing. He says, but we know that the law is good. The law is good. We know that the law is holy. Romans tells us so. The law was fabulous, holy, righteous. There's nothing wrong with the law. In fact, the law shows me what I am. The law is so perfect that it shows me just how wicked and ungodly that I am. It says, if I could have kept the law, if there had been a law, then Christ should never have had to go to a cross. But because there is no law or group of laws or set of laws that I can keep the way I need to, God had to die on that cross. God had to shed precious holy blood on that cross that men could be saved. Because no law, no groups of rules could make us holy, 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 or righteous in the eyes of God. In fact, it's God's blood, it's His justification that causes righteousness in us. Nothing in what we have done, nothing in the rules that we've done, nothing in doing any special thing, just in what Christ and what Christ has done alone. If it's anything other than Christ and Him alone, we have added to or subtracted from the Word of God. Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous men. In other words, wait a minute. I didn't say we could do without law now. But the law is not made for righteous men. We were saved by grace. And being saved by grace, we know that God's law is holy. God's law is right. And we keep that to the very best of our abilities. And we ask for forgiveness when we fail Him. But it says here that the law is not made for the righteous man. We are not saved by law. We are not saved through law. We are saved by grace and through grace. It says we are not this for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinner, for the unholy, for the profane, for the murderers of fathers, the mothers of mothers, the mothers of, for manslayers, and whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves among mankind, men stealers, liars, perjurious persons, if there be anything else that's contrary to sound doctrine. In other words, the law shows us what we are. Now, with the Spirit, I serve God. But with the flesh, I am dangerous. Romans tells us that we are still hanging on to this flesh, and we're hanging on to God. But the thing is, the difference in being lost hanging on to the flesh is that you're still at enmity, you're still at war, you're still in violation of everything about God. It says, knowing that the law is not for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient and ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers, the law shows them exactly where they are too. It shows them that they are just what they are. Grace, when we see the law, shows us what God has done for us. The law for the wicked man who never gets saved just shows him just how wicked, ungodly, what he deserves in prison or wherever he may be. But for us, Christ paid that debt. Christ paid that law. Christ covered that sin that we did. We're on this list somewhere. Every one of us is on this list somewhere. It says here, but for the lawless. Man, did I talk about speed limits earlier? There was a time when I thought speed limits were made for the other guy. If it said go 70, I thought 120 was good. I mean, I flew. And I ain't going to talk about all the other things that I violated there, but it says, the law is made for the lawless. I knew I was lawless. I knew what I was doing. I knew I was, but I was enjoying my carnal self. I was doing what I wanted to do. If they catch me, or if they can catch me, then I'll worry about it then. Well, believe me, in the eyes of God, we've all been caught. Every one of us has been caught. Every one of us has been judged. We were judged ungodly from the foundation of the world. Everybody that fell in Adam has been judged. It says here, for the disobedient. Have we ever been disobedient? Oh, yes. Have we ever been told to go do this or clean up your room or do that? Don't speak back. Don't do this. Oh, yeah. We always do that disobedient thing. Mom said, did you clean up your room? Oh, yeah, Mom. I cleaned up my room. And she'd go in there and it was still all scattered out just like it was. But I lied good. Yeah, I picked up this or that. I just didn't clean up the whole thing. It was my way of being disobedient. Did you eat the last cookie? Yeah, I ate the last cookie. No, I didn't eat that. That was her. I always blamed Debbie for eating the last cookie. She should have been big as a butterball. I mean, she got blamed for eating the last everything. The ice cream cones, the cookies, everything there was. I was a good liar back then. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And those folks who were ungodly. Those folks who could talk a good story outside of the church. Oh, yeah, I went to church. I read my Bible. La, 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 la. But truth is, we don't act like what we do. Ungodly. We profess to be something that we're not. We act like we're something that we're not. Instead of just giving into Jesus. Instead of just giving it over to Jesus and taking what He gives us. Then it says, oh, boy, unholy, profane. Most of us, before God got a hold of us, we were that away. And murderers of fathers. You say, I didn't kill my daddy. Oh, yes, I did. Have you ever been so mad at him? You say, I hate you. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like your rule. I don't like your order. Yeah, we killed our fathers. We've even killed our mothers. Because Jesus says, if you thought you should do it, if you thought about it, you did it in your heart. Then it says, men stealers, and let's talk about kidnappers and folks that do those things, and perjurious persons, people that would actually stand up and lie about somebody else, who would actually say, oh, yeah, they're the ones that just stole that thing when you know good and well it wasn't them, it was you or somebody else, to put the blame on someplace else, perjurious persons. And if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine, anything that doesn't lift you up,